And the upshot of this is that when they're slowing the economy down, effectively what they want to do is they want to increase the amount of unemployed people.
Reserve Bank don't usually put it in such stark terms. They use nice euphemisms like take the heat out of the economy.
G'day and welcome to Follow the Money, the Australia Institute's podcast demystifying the big economic issues in Australia and putting them in plain English. I'm Ebony Bennett, Deputy Director at the Australia Institute. And in episode 8 of Follow the Money, we're investigating interest rates.
One for mum, one for dad, one for the country.
And there has never been a more exciting time to be in Australia.
Dead, buried, cremated.
Australia's basically done for. We'll just end up being a third-rate economy. You know, a banana republic.
Just follow the money.
This month, Australia has reached a sort of economic threshold. Interest rates are about as low as they can go at 1.5%, and the Federal Treasurer Scott Morrison has lectured the Reserve Bank that there's little room to move and that he opposes any further interest rate cuts. Quote, "Monetary policy has exhausted its effectiveness," he said. Scott Morrison is currently overseas, so he left it up to his economic sidekick, that's Finance Minister Matthias Cormann, to explain more to ABC Radio.
I mean, obviously what the Treasurer was saying there was he was echoing comments made by the Governor of the Reserve Bank, and 1.5% official cash rate is, of course, very low, certainly by Australian standards.
So monetary policy has exhausted its effectiveness?
You know, we went to the last election with a plan to strengthen growth and create more jobs.
The Reserve Bank itself has been saying for some time that monetary policy has its limits. So how does changing interest rates work to stimulate or take the heat out of the economy? And who benefits? With me today to explain all things interest rates are the Australia Institute's Chief Economist Richard Dennis and Senior Economist Matt Grudnoff. But first, we should explain the difference between fiscal policy and monetary policy, two terms that you'll often hear when talking about interest rates.
Fiscal policy is the way that government uses its taxing policies and its spending policies to affect the macro economy. And fiscal policy is a very important economic tool. When governments spend a lot of money, when they inject new money into the economy, then they can create jobs, they can create growth, and if they do it poorly, they can create inflation. So during the middle of the mining boom, when the economy was really booming, Peter Costello was spending a lot of new money, and that actually drove up inflation. It actually caused shortages in the economy because he was pumping new money in to an economy that was already running about as fast as it could.
Okay. And monetary policy is something different. Matt, what's monetary policy?
Monetary policy is a lot of things, but nowadays it's just movements in interest rates. So the Reserve Bank increases interest rates if it thinks the economy is running too fast and it wants to slow it down. And if it thinks that the economy is running too slowly, it'll cut interest rates. And therefore, a reduction in interest rates will mean that people pay less on their mortgages, they'll have more to spend elsewhere, businesses are likely to invest more, and we'll see a growth in the economy. So effectively, monetary policy is a tool that the Reserve Bank uses to either grow or contract the economy.
And, well, we usually treat fiscal policy and monetary policy as separate tools or separate levers. Reality is harder than the textbook. So we've seen recently a real problem with the way that tax policies have stimulated a lot of people to rush into the housing market, and negative gearing policy, that's a tax policy, and capital gains tax concessions, that's a tax policy, have really made investment in investment properties in Australia very attractive. And then when the Reserve Bank looks at the macro economy and thinks, well, I might like to cut interest rates, they also have to worry, oh, is that going to make a housing boom even bigger? So monetary policy...
So ideally, you would want them to be working together, is what you're saying.
Some say.
The Reserve Bank has a new governor. It's exciting.
Well, that's what we said in my house.
New Governor Philip Lowe chaired his first Reserve Bank meeting this month, at which the bank decided to keep interest rates on hold at 1.5%. This is a record low for Australia. In a statement, Philip Lowe said,
"In Australia, the economy is continuing to grow at a moderate rate. The large decline in mining investment is being offset by growth in other areas, including residential construction, public demand and exports. Household consumption has been growing at a reasonable pace, but appears to have slowed a little recently.
What's his job?
Well, we've got a Reserve Bank governor in Australia who, according to the Reserve Bank Act, is there to achieve full employment. But actually what their job has been for the last 10 years really has been to maintain 2 to 3% inflation. And the main tool of the Reserve Bank is influencing official interest rates. And the official interest rates in turn affect the interest rates you pay on your mortgage, the interest rates you pay on your credit card, the interest rates you pay on your car loan. So when the economy is growing, quote, too fast for the RBA, so fast that they worry it might cause inflation, they lift interest rates. And what they don't usually make clear is they lift interest rates in order to hurt everybody.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if you've got a $500,000 mortgage and interest rates go up, your mortgage repayments will go up. And when your mortgage repayments go up, you will have less money left over to spend in the shops. You'll have less money to go out to restaurants with. So when we want to slow the economy down, the euphemism is often to take the heat out of the economy, by forcing people with mortgages to spend more money on their mortgage repayments, then we reduce the amount of money that they can spend on everything else. It also affects businesses who might want to borrow to invest in new factories or installing a new equipment in their shop or whatever investment they might want to undertake. Higher interest rates, the Reserve Bank hope, discourage that investment.
And the upshot of this is that when they're slowing the economy down, effectively what they want to do is they want to increase the amount of unemployed people. When there's more unemployed people around, that tends to slow wages growth down because businesses have a lot more people to choose from. It's harder to ask your boss for a pay rise if there's 10 people banging on his door wanting your job.
And again, the Reserve Bank don't usually put it in such stark terms. They don't usually say we're increasing interest rates because we want to cause some unemployment. They use nice euphemisms like take the heat out of the economy.
Not that I've read a huge amount of Reserve Bank media releases.
You should.
But that particular role of monetary policy doesn't quite seem to make it through to what gets reported on the news.
No, and that's because it's deliberately concealed. But also when it is discussed, it's discussed with econobabble like taking the heat out.
Interest rates will always go up and down. I've never guaranteed that interest rates would never go up.
A moribund, high inflation, high interest rates, high unemployment, high tariff country.
Mr. Speaker, and 10 years ago, the current mortgage interest rate at 7.8% would have been considered unattainable.
Interest rates were big news in the 1990s when they reached a record high of 17.5% under then Labor Treasurer Paul Keating. They were also top of news bulletins under the Coalition Prime Minister John Howard, who oversaw 9 successive interest rate rises from 4.25% to 6.75%, many of those after he famously promised to keep interest rates low. High interest rates are always touted as bad news for homeowners.
But the figures are bad news for home buyers and could see another rise in interest rates.
But people who have a mortgage aren't the only ones affected by movements in interest rates. What about pensioners who rely on savings in the bank or students with loans to repay?
The easy way to look at it is low interest rates are good for people with debt and bad for people with money in the bank. So cutting interest rates to very low levels actually reduces the income of many retirees, especially retirees who are nervous about the stock market and prefer to keep their money in bank accounts, in fixed term deposits. So low interest rates aren't good or bad, they just have consequences.
Yeah, and that's a really important point. Economists don't think that interest rates are good or bad. They're actually a tool that the Reserve Bank can use to change the economy. But we have governments utterly confused about what interest rates are for, and we have governments who actually think that the objective of their policy is to reduce interest rates. Well, reducing interest rates means the economy is not doing well. It's really easy to reduce interest rates. All you got to do is screw the economy up completely and you'll get low interest rates.
Matt, surely you're not saying that it's not the size of your interest rates that count, it's what you do with them.
I may well be saying that, Richard.
breakfast, a time for traditional scurrying in many homes. But here's one homemaker who has everything under perfect control.
Governments can borrow more easily than most families or businesses, we've seen. But they ultimately need to live within their means.
One of my favourites is comparing the Commonwealth budget to a household budget.
Well, yeah, it's a great thing to do because the punters at home understand their own budget, except that it's completely wrong. If the government was running its budget like a household budget, it would have four, maybe five times as much debt. If we look at average household debt, we find that most people have a debt equal to their annual income. In fact, when we're giving advice to our kids when they, you know, become adults, what is the advice we give them? The first bit of advice we give them is save up so that you can go into an enormous amount of debt and buy a house.
Now, that's the second advice. The first advice we give them is go to uni and borrow an enormous amount of money for their hex debt.
So if we look at households, we find that households are going into debt all the time. So if we were to treat the government budget like a household budget, then we'd want to run the government budget into a lot more debt.
Yet we're told that a responsible government wouldn't ever borrow money to invest in the schools that we need, the hospitals we need, the roads that we need, the ports that we need. It's ridiculous to think that a rapidly growing economy with a rapidly growing population would never need to borrow money to invest in future growth.
And this is even stranger when you consider that the organisation which would find it easiest to borrow at the lowest interest rate is the government. The government recently issued some bonds at around 2%. So while you can get a good mortgage rate nowadays at 4%, the government can actually borrow at half that, at only 2%. And also, while you might work for 30 or 40 years over your life, the government will continue on long after that. The government
Australia's not going to retire.
Exactly right. And so therefore, the government has a huge long period in which to pay down this debt.
Mr. Speaker, this budget is an economic plan. It's not just another budget.
When the budget was delivered, because it happened a week early, it happened to coincide with a Reserve Bank decision on interest rates. Matt, take us through what happened on budget day.
Well, I think that the governor of the Reserve Bank must be one of the most frustrated people in Australia with the budget. While he may seem calm and collected in public, I think inside he's raging with frustration because the Reserve Bank are lowering interest rates because they want to stimulate the economy. They want to grow the economy. They think the economy is weak and that it needs to grow faster. But at exactly the same time as they're doing this, on exactly the same day, the Treasurer, Scott Morrison, releases a budget or
an economic plan.
whose policy decisions take about $2 billion out of the economy. And that's going to contract the economy. That's going to create more unemployment. So the Reserve Bank governor is trying to stimulate the economy by lowering interest rates, and at exactly the same time, the Treasurer is trying to contract the economy by taking money out.
You make it sound like there's chaos when it comes to economic policy.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily chaos, but it is a bit like driving the car by putting your foot flat on the accelerator and then just, you know, adjusting your speed down the freeway with the brake.
That's how I like to drive.
It might not be the most economically efficient way to do it.
So you're saying you use one pedal at a time?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to try that.
That's been episode 8 of Follow the Money, brought to you by the Australia Institute. You can subscribe on iTunes or find previous episodes on our website at tai.org.au/podcasts. Richard Dennis's book Econobabble is available now from redbackquarterly.com.au, or you can find it on Amazon and in all good bookshops. You can follow Richard on Twitter at RDNS_TAI or Matt at Matt Grudnoff, that's spelled GRUDNOFF, or me at Ebony_Bennett with a double N double T. The Australia Institute is at the Oz Institute with an AUS. This episode was produced by Jennifer Macy. Jonathan McFeet from Pulse and Thrum composed our title track, and you can find more of his music at pulseandthrum.com. Thanks for listening.